Which players are on the move, and what impact will that have on the teams involved? Jim Duquette will fill you in now in the On the Move podcast, presented by Penske.
Hey, everyone. Welcome into another On the Move podcast. Tim McMaster here, along with Jim Duquette. And Duke, it's the final week of the regular season, so there's a lot of teams that are on the move to the postseason, and some of those teams trying to get healthy before they get to October and trying to get some of their key players back. So we'll get into lots of stuff, some front office movement, some prospects getting called up. But I want to start with the contenders and really the injuries that they face, because there's a lot of them, and it's going to be certainly interesting as we get through the rest of this week and into October to see how healthy these teams that are going to be playing in the playoffs are. I want to start with the Indians, who just clinched on Monday night. Danny Salazar seems like a good update from Monday. He threw a bullpen on Monday, and according to pitching coach of the Indians, Mickey Callaway, he looked good. Now, it's a long way from throwing a bullpen to starting a game or pitching in a game in the postseason. So what are your thoughts on Salazar at this point and the possibility of him being back with Cleveland?
Well, I think with Salazar, you're right. It is a long way away. It's hard to know for sure. I think they're going to do everything that they can to simulate games for him. And I've talked to Chris Antonetti recently, the president of baseball operations for the Indians, and they know how big of an arm, how important of an arm he is for them moving forward. And there's still question marks, you know, really in that number four spot in their rotation. You know, see Mike Clevinger gets a start tonight, but, you know, Josh Tomlin's pitched a little bit better. You also have a little bit of a concern with Corey Kluber and his groin after his last start. So they really need it. I think that's the one thing. Even if he doesn't start, they could use that arm coming out of the bullpen. He could be a factor for them in that way.
I mean, it's such a tough month for the Indians, the way they were cruising along, and then to lose Salazar and Carrasco with a fractured hand. Not the way you want to finish things up, but they did clinch Monday, and those celebrations all around for sure. Now, a team that's even in tougher shape as far as the pitching side of things goes, Duke, is of course, the Mets, and it continues to just be an issue with this team. DeGrom and Matt. It seems like Matt's, after an update on Monday, seeing a doctor, a decent chance that he's done for the season. DeGrom done for the season. I mean, this Mets team, this isn't what we thought we were going to see heading into October for the New York Mets.
No, it's not. And, you know, I think that's the one thing with them. They've kept it together as best as possible. And I think they get a little bit lucky during the remaining games because of the fact that, okay, Colon pitched and wasn't effective there last night, but they get him from one more, and they have Noah Syndergaard available and scheduled for two of their final five games. So that, I think, is a little bit encouraging in their spot, and we know how soft their schedule is, but it doesn't make it easier, and how they've been able to piece it together with the rotation of Gesellman and Lugo, question marks in that fifth spot. It's been amazing what they've been able to accomplish. We'll see what happens with them against the Marlins for two and Phillies for three. They've had their way with the Phillies here, but it's not an easy team to play there down the stretch.
And then, of course, you got to look further to what they do in the postseason, because you mentioned those names. And they've pitched well. That's the thing. Gesellman and Lugo have pitched surprising is maybe the understatement of how good those two guys have been. But, I mean, how confident can a team be in one of those names pitching in a playoff game?
Well, and that's going to be the thing is, you really don't know. And I think there was a lot of question mark with them pitching in the regular season when they were – when people were doubting them, and all of a sudden they've pitched well, and so it's hard to say that they couldn't handle it. But pitching in the postseason, as we both know, is different and much more difficult, and we, with all the attention, a lot more pressure as well. So they very well could have one of those young guys have to pitch in the wild card game if they need that last weekend and last day to get themselves that first wild card to get into the postseason and play in that one-game playoff. Syndergaard pitches on that day, Colon on Saturday, which would most likely leave Lugo or Gesellman to have to pitch on that Wednesday play-in game versus whoever it might be, either Cardinals and Giants. Not ideal, certainly not ideal, but there's really no other choice at this point.
Yeah, certainly not ideal if you're looking at maybe Madison Bumgarner being the starter for the other team. Wilmer Flores also looks to be done for the season. Probably less of an impact on this team at this point. They have a lot of depth as far as players right now, I think, around those positions. But still, another loss for this Mets team that they can't handle too many more of these.
No, they can't. And, you know, I think that's the one area that you wonder from the depth side of things. Luckily, they, you know, made a couple of deals, but they've had some guys come up and fill in for Flores. TJ Rivera has been an unsung hero for them during the course of this month. And so, you know, obviously trading for Kelly Johnson, we know that. The guys that have continued to carry them since they came back from the disabled is Cespedes and Asdrubal Cabrera. It looks like Jay Bruce is starting to heat up. Granderson has been better. I mean, there's a lot of guys here that have been contributing, but they can't afford any more injuries, like you said.
Yeah, and they're a team that certainly has shown no quit. I was impressed Saturday to be down 10-0 to the Phillies, and they basically pull the starters, and the bench guys come in, and they rally, and they almost get back in that game. They actually got the winning run to the plate late. All right, the other team in that same division, Duke, have obviously clinched, so they have some time to get healthy here, but the injuries piling up there as well. Daniel Murphy's been out for a while. It's a leg/buttocks issue and not really going well with the treatment. Bryce Harper injures his thumb over the weekend. X-ray's negative, so that's good news there. So maybe the biggest right now, Nationals-wise, is Monday night, Wilson Ramos in kind of a fluke play, just leaping to catch a high throw, lands funny on the knee, and they're crossed, I guess, fingers crossed, awaiting an MRI on Wilson Ramos, because that would be a devastating loss.
Boy, it really would. I tell you, it didn't look good, as you mentioned. It was a kind of an inconsequential play. There was no real issue, no play at the plate. He was jumping up to catch a throw coming in and came down in no contact at all from the runner, Brandon Drury, and ends up tweaking the knee that he had surgery on there a couple years ago. And, boy, he got carried off, helped off the field. It did not look good. He was in a lot of pain. And let's just hope that it's not a long-term thing. Let's hope it looked a lot worse than it is. We'll have to wait and see. They're getting an MRI, and he's been a huge part of the middle of their lineup. Murphy looks like he'll be back and Harper back, but missing Ramos really, that lineup doesn't lengthen out quite nearly as much when he's not there.
Free agent, how bad would that be for him on a personal level heading into an offseason if it's a bad knee injury? I mean, that pretty much completely takes away his leverage in free agency.
It really does. And, you know, depending on how bad it is, you know, he's caught a lot of games this year. He's had a career number in offense on his offensive side. He's been good defensively, too. You're right. The timing of that, and let's hope it's not a significant one for him on that free agent market. There's going to be plenty of teams interested in him, including the Nationals, including the Braves. So teams, you know, right in the mix that would be, I think, bidding for Ramos's services. But, again, a lot of what we know and a lot of the interest is going to be dependent on what happens in that MRI.
I guess the silver lining for these Nationals injuries, as opposed to the Mets, is that the Nationals are in. They can take this week and not worry about having to still win baseball games, whereas the Mets need to win all the games they can just to get to the postseason still. Speaking of another player that switching gears a little bit, staying in the National League, Duke, with another playoff team, though. The Dodgers heading to the postseason, they clinch on Sunday in what was kind of an incredible scene. For the Dodgers to clinch a division on a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 10th inning in Vin Scully's final home game, and then they turn the microphone over to the legendary broadcaster, who's 67 years in the booth for the Dodgers, obviously going all the way back to Brooklyn, and he gets to talk to the fans. I mean, it was an unbelievable scene, and Vin is, as we do the On the Move podcast presented by Penske, Scully is on the move to retirement, which is bad news for all of us that love listening to him call a baseball game.
Hard to believe, isn't it, that he's not going to be doing this any longer? And, you know, he's been the voice of summer for so long. It's a huge void that we're going to be without there, certainly with the Dodger fans in particular that got the chance to listen to him on a nightly basis. It was a tremendous finish. If you want to talk about memorable finishes, Charlie Culberson you know, with the walk-off on his last night. If you're Charlie, who had his, I think, first home run of the season for them, and you see how he did it in walk-off fashion, they clinched the division, and it's on basically Vin Scully Day. I loved how the players went up and saluted him as they were going up to their first at-bat, and then how they certainly saluted him after the game, after they had won the National League West. It was a terrific moment, one of those great moments in baseball.
Yeah, and the game before they got to the 10th, tied in the bottom of the ninth by Corey Seager with another home run. And after the game, Vin Scully had a recording of himself singing Wind Beneath My Wings, pretty much a tribute to the Dodgers fans that he said carry this team and have carried him for all these years. Really an unbelievable moment for the Dodgers. And Scully obviously will be missed throughout baseball as far as calling baseball games going forward. All right, so that's kind of a look at a lot of movement among playoff teams, Duke. I wanted to switch to some teams that are out of the race, some front office stuff as well. It seems like the Twins are closing in on their next general manager, and it looks like the leading candidate is Derek Falvey, 33 years old. He's the assistant GM of the Indians. So another one of these young general manager types. Obviously, he's a lot like some of the other younger GMs that have come in as far as the analytics and all that stuff. How much do you know about Derek Falvey?
Well, I know a little bit about him. You know, he's been in the organization now 8 years. And if you look at, the Indians have had a long history of hiring good executives. We really started all the way back with John Hart and Dan O'Dowd and Mark Shapiro. All of those guys got GM positions and have moved on, of course. And now, and as you see the new wave, it's Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff. You look at Ross Atkins moving on to Toronto. Neil Huntington is in that fold as well, all getting experience there in Cleveland. Ben Sherrington's another executive. So they have had a long history, long executive tree, here in Major League Baseball. And so it wouldn't be all that surprising that they would go to the Indians again for Falvey. And, you know, it's interesting within the division, but what they need in Minnesota is an infrastructure, to build an infrastructure, player development, scouting. And that's what the Indians have always done very well. They've built their teams around that. And so it's an interesting challenge for him if that's the route that they decide to go. Great opportunity for a young executive.
Yeah, he actually started with the Indians as an intern and then made it all the way up through. So you know, started at the bottom, worked his way up with one team, and now maybe moving to a division rival. Another front office shakeup. We knew something was going to happen with the Diamondbacks, Duke. Such a disappointing season. They kind of went all in with Zach Greinke and all the moves before the season. And Deshaun Watson is the one who, I guess, takes the fall for this franchise at this point after a super disappointing season.
Yeah, I think so, you know, and it doesn't seem like there's going to be any other changes, although you never really know. I think what had happened there in Arizona, disappointing as it was, and we're going to have one of the worst records in the game, they wanted to make a decision, and we're going to make a decision by the end of the season when the season's over. So there's still that possibility that Tony La Russa and or Dave Stewart may not be back, but Deshaun Watson pushed the envelope, so to speak, and wanted to get an answer because, quite frankly, if you're not going to be back, he wanted to be able to go out there and shop for another job and hope that he ended up with a position in another team. They gave him that opportunity by talking to him, telling him that they weren't going to pick up his option for next season. This is the time of the year that happens. There'll be other player movement or other executive movement in the game. And Deshaun has been doing this for a very long time. And I expect that he'll land on his feet here in a couple of different options. He's come up in Cincinnati's organization, the Dodgers. He's got that background as well, and as well as Arizona. So he shouldn't have any trouble landing back on his feet. But I think it's one of those where he wanted to kind of push that decision as quickly as he could.
You look at the Diamondbacks this season and what happened, and you can't help but think back to the Padres a year ago and what happened when that franchise kind of went for it and it didn't work out. But they've made a lot of moves to get younger, to get young talent into that system, and they had a successful season at the minor league level this year. In fact, the AAA team in El Paso, Pacific Coast League champs, they ended up losing to the Yankees AAA team in the what's become kind of like the Super Bowl of AAA baseball. But they let a lot of these young kids stick with that team and go through that process and win baseball games before calling them up. But now they're up a nice little nucleus that they've kind of put together here at Duke. Manuel Margot, their number two prospect. Hunter Renfro is their number three prospect. Carlos Asuaje was on that team. He's the number 20 prospect, but he was in the Futures game this summer. He's a guy that everybody loves him, but they don't know if he really has the tools to be a starter every day. But he's going to be a guy that gets a lot of time in an infield somewhere. And then Austin Hedges also comes up, who's no longer a prospect because he played too much last year, but he's still a part of that future. It seems like that call-up of those four guys together was almost a big moment for the Padres in looking to their future, because these four guys are supposed to be a big part of it.
Yeah, they're going to be a big part of it. They traded for a couple of those guys. Don't forget with Asuaje and also Margot. And, you know, they have produced for them. Margot has had some terrific at-bats here early on. He's got I'll call it a megawatt smile. That's what Andy Green, his manager, called it. And, you know, he's got that kind of infectious personality, you know, when you look at it. And they've had a number of young players come on the scene, whether it's Ryan Schimpf or Travis Jankowski, a couple of those type of players. Luis Perdomo was a Rule 5 pick who's really solidified himself in the rotation. So they've had some opportunities for some young players. They've come up. Will Myers has certainly been a big part of that all year. You mentioned Austin Hedges as a guy who's likely going to be their backstop for the next couple of years. So they're definitely going in a different direction, a younger direction. I think it's the right direction going forward. And, you know, they moved a couple of those veterans that they traded for last year, got back some real valuable pieces.
What you don't hear in all of that is the pitching, which I guess is the next step, right? Because there's clearly a lot of young talent as far as positions go, and they can fill out that lineup. But at some point, you got to add the pitching.
You're going to have to add the pitching. I think that's what they've tried to do. It's something that it's always a work in progress, I think, when you're young, when your team's like that, that you know, you get a lot of your kind of homegrown guys. Usually the young pitching come from your system. You come from getting high draft picks. They haven't had a ton of draft picks. They had a lot last year, so they've kind of filled in. I think you have to wait a couple of years before they help you at the major league level. And I think that they'll be active this winter in trying to make a trade or two to try to get themselves some young starters. And again, they've been able to fill in the back end very well, whether it's Perdomo or Cozart or even a Clemens. They've gotten the unexpected starts out of Clayton Richard, but I'm not sure you expect him for next year. But they're piecing it together, I think, the right way. It's a pitcher's park for the most part. And I think, you know, if they can find another piece or two a couple years from now, they should be in contention.
All right, great stuff as always. That was Jim Duquette. I'm Tim McMaster. Thanks so much for tuning in to another edition of the On the Move podcast presented by Penske.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.